Big Brothers Big Sisters needs your help. There's a waiting list of more than 50 children hoping for a mentor. It's just a few hours a month. Be a mentor. Become a big. Visit Big Brothers Big Sisters Northeast Florida and click on Be a Big.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we are off. We are getting set to say goodbye to February, bringing the great month of March, right? A month of liars. Those who are Irish and those who will say they are Irish, at least on the 17th, St. Patrick's Day, which will also be the official opening of the free agency period when the NFL brand new year begins. Of course, the legal tampering period begins 48 hours prior to that. That'll be the mid part of March. What a great month. The Players' Championship, the NCAA college basketball tournament, and free agency in the NFL. What more could you possibly ask for? We're going to talk some hoops tonight. Absolutely, we're going to get into it. What a huge weekend it is for teams on the bubble. You look at what Michigan State did last night. You look at what North Carolina is trying to do. Yes, they do have 14 wins. They let one get away to Marquette midweek. Duke trying to get back in. Kansas has been red hot since falling out of the top 25. They came back and did win five in a row. They let one get away the other night against Texas. And everything else that's happening in college basketball, number 4, Ohio State, number 5, Illinois, number 6, Alabama, number 7, Oklahoma, number 9, Iowa, all did fall this week. Five of the top 9 teams in college basketball. Pretend for 1 second that that happened in college football. And I know that the last several years, you can almost make the case that it really wouldn't matter all that much, even with 4, 5, and 6, and 7 losing, because it's been so incredibly top-heavy that I believe in the sport of college football, and it really its biggest problem is that you know right now in February, you certainly know in the mid part of the summer, and once camp gets underway in the month of August, you can basically identify the 4 or 5 teams that you know that are going to play for a national championship in college football. That is not the case in college basketball. This thing is as wide open as we have ever seen. I mean, you really have an opportunity out there. I would say there's a dozen, maybe 15, 16, 17 teams that you can honestly make a case for them going real deep into this year's tournament. And all you have to do is look at JU and the sad news that has come forward here in the last hour that Jacksonville's season is over. They are not going to be able to play in the A-Sun tournament. A COVID-related issue. It has hit the program. They're one of the two hosts here during this tournament that is getting set to get underway. And all of a sudden, it comes to an end. You know, last night's game, I wanted to see West Virginia. I've had an opportunity to watch them. I watched them against Texas over the weekend. Texas had like an 18-point lead against the Mountaineers. Now, most of my attention was on the Florida State basketball game. Florida State, who the hell did they have last? It was Pitt. It was Florida State Pitt because Florida State hadn't won in Pitt in like 6 years. And the big discrepancy there has been free throws, you know, fouls, free throws, really favoring Pitt. Florida State got it done. I also keyed in on the Florida Georgia game, but I had an eye on West Virginia, Texas, and Texas was up by like 18. West Virginia stormed back and won it. And I wanted to see that game against Baylor, one of the two undefeated teams still remaining in college football, college basketball, along with Gonzaga. And we didn't get that game last night. So I think that's another part of all this that no one can explain at this time. What if a team gets hit with COVID? What if it runs throughout the university? If it runs throughout the team? you can't cancel the tournament like what we saw take place a year ago, but I think you can absolutely force a team to opt out, like what has happened here with Jacksonville University. So anyway, disappointing to see this. Their season has come to an end. The ugly pandemic continues to rear, again, its ugly head. And I just don't know when it's going to go away. I'm actually surprised that there has been as much activity this year in college basketball as has gone on. I thought all along that they came back too soon. You know, I didn't know what the reasoning was to basically start things on time. I would have pushed it back. I know March Madness is important, but for me, I just felt that was the right move to make. Obviously, they elected to do what they have done, and we're seeing what is coming out of it. The biggest difference, you know, just look at teams, look at rankings, look at games played. I mean, Virginia is second in the Atlantic Coast Conference right now, behind only Florida State. They don't even play this weekend. You look at teams like, well, for instance, the Noles, they've played 16 games. Okay, you look at teams like USC and Loyola of Chicago. They've played 23 and 24 games. You know, Villanova in the top 10, they've played 16 games. There's a major difference here that goes anywhere from 26 games played to 16 games played. And once again, this was a huge story with Ohio State and the Big Ten. Did they deserve to be in it playing only six games? And we heard about it compared to the Clemson and the ACC and certainly what came out of the Southeastern Conference this year. I wonder, does that even matter to you as the sports fan involved with college basketball? The Gators had to wait a few weeks to play. The Noles have had to wait a few weeks to play. Baylor hasn't played in nearly 3 weeks, okay? They're 17-0. They're ranked number two in America. Let me look that up just to be sure. The last time Baylor played, for what it's worth, was on February 2nd. I mean, today's the 26th. Baylor hasn't played the month of February. And right now, you can go to Las Vegas, or you can go anywhere. You can go to the local pool hall if your buddy will take the bet. And you can take the field, or you can take Baylor and Gonzaga. Are there really people out there foolish enough that are going to take that side of it? You're going to rest on the Zags? You're going to rest on the Bears? You're going to be fooled by regular season success and think that they're going to knock every single team off and it's going to come down to one of those two teams to win a national championship? I beg to differ. But as always, you can give me your opinion, 641-1010. All right, we got a lot to do tonight. A lot of Jag stuff coming up. A lot of football stuff coming up. I almost never do this, but I want to replay something that we did last night in the 7 o'clock hour when I had Hall of Fame broadcaster Bob Costas on the program. He said something that I thought was really interesting when it came to the non-selection into the Hall of Fame for Curt Schilling. Now, a couple of things that you need to consider with Bob Costas. He is currently a contributor for CNN. Now, I set up Bob by asking him just how disappointing it was this year not to have anyone elected into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. I continue to think it's an absolute abomination that no one got in this year. And, you know, the whole steroid-related issue, your opinion on Clemens, your opinion on Bonds, you have it. Some of you have changed it. That is always going to be there. With Curt Schilling, this is really the first time that I can ever think of that here's a man who wasn't elected because of his political views. Last night, I asked Bob Costas that particular question.
I think at this point, it's the only explanation because he got to 70% and made a move from there. It put him on the verge of getting into the Hall of Fame. Almost anybody that gets to that 70% mark ultimately goes past 75%. And he had some history of tweets and statements that alienated a lot of people. And rather than just cooling it in the past year, he almost doubled down. I think without that, it's reasonable to conclude that while it wasn't unanimous that he had Hall of Fame credentials, the vast majority of voters happened to feel that way, certainly more than enough to put him over 75%. So the only thing that's keeping him out is these provocative statements. And one thing that should be clear, and people should really understand this, there is an obvious distinction here. I have heard people say, oh, well, if he was a left-wing guy instead of a right-wing guy, then provocative or controversial statements wouldn't keep him out of the Hall of Fame. Mariano Rivera was a public Donald Trump supporter. Now, granted, Rivera's credentials are unimpeachable, no pun intended.
Right.
So he got
right.
100%. There is a difference between being a conservative, which isn't going to keep anybody out of any Hall of Fame, and being like in the Marjorie Taylor Greene flank of the party, the nutcase wing of the party, supporting what happened on January 6th. You know, that kind of stuff, it doesn't fall anywhere on the rational political spectrum. And this comes from a guy, your listeners may or may not know this, I have said from day one, as you know, Rick, broadcasters do not get a vote. It's only the baseball writers. But if I had a vote, I would have voted for Curt Schilling from day one. And if I had a vote now, I would still vote for him. I've always had a good personal relationship with him. And as someone who has had a friendly relationship with him, I just wish he would stop hurting his own case this way. We're all entitled to our own political views. But there are some that are just out of bounds. They're not just on the fringes. They're way over the line. Could be over the line on the left. Could be over the line on the right. And he's crossed that line, fair to say.
It's Hall of Fame broadcaster Bob Costas. I wanted to replay that for you because it happened last night at 7 o'clock. And wanted to reset that for our new audience here on a Friday. I'm not going to go down that road today. I just wanted to, play that so you could listen to it. And if you want to express your opinion, you can do so on our text line, 641-1010, or get me on Twitter, Blue1010XL. The reason why I've said this is the reason why I've raised this is, it's time for a third category. Shoeless Joe Jackson, not in, allegedly was involved in the Black Sox scandal, although it was never proved. The all-time hits leader in the history of the game, Pete Rose, not in. He gambled on baseball. If you've ever been inside a locker room or clubhouse, there are signs all over the place that say you cannot bet on the game. He has been blackballed from the Hall of Fame. And then the steroid use, which is incredibly subjective. The best pitcher, arguably, of the last 30 years, arguably, Roger Clemens, not in. The best player of the last 30 years, arguably, Barry Bonds, not in. Yet, Jeff Bagwell, Pudge Rodriguez, others who have been linked to steroid use, sneak in through the back door. Again, completely subjective, not objective. It's time to add Curt Schilling to that list. He has popped off politically. Whether you agree or do not agree is fine. But his numbers say Hall of Fame. He's one of two players in the history of the game to have more than 3,000 career strikeouts, who's not in the Hall of Fame. The only other guy? Roger Clemens. He won 3 World Series. He won more than 200 games and was a dominant clutch pitcher, especially in the month of October. His numbers say Hall of Fame. His political views have kept him out. You want to respond to that? By all means, you can. If not, I'm going to let it ride into the sunset and change things up and get to some football. Good to have you with us. It is a Friday edition alongside RJ Saunders. I am the truth teller, Rick Ballew. Let's go into the night.
Let's go into the night. with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, tonight's show brought to you by Key Buick GMC. The weekend of February is here. Incredible incentives on both GMCs and Buicks. So make sure you go by and visit them. Need an SUV? Check out the roomy GMC Acadia. Okay. I have the Sierra truck, which I purchased there a few years ago. I absolutely love it. Also picked up a brand new Buick Enclave for the GF, and she loves it. All right, that's where I shop. Got my daughter a car there. They have great previously used cars if you're in the neighborhood for that. Whenever you buy a brand new Buick, a brand new GMC from Key, comes with the lifetime powertrain warranty, which is incredibly important. They have the $99 option where you can lease $99 a month for a Buick Encore. I mean, they got a lot in the lot, if that makes any sense. A lot in the lot. In this case, it does make sense because there are a lot of vehicle dealerships everywhere because of COVID. They just don't have a lot of inventory. That is not the case right now at Key. Visit them. Across the street from Tinseltown, Southside in Gate. Did I just hear the Hall of Famer Jim Ross?
You did.
Cutting up a spot. The Diesel's coming in the town to fight?
He is. Shaq Daddy. The man of many nicknames. I don't know what nickname he is nowadays.
Years ago, and he just passed, I saw the late Kevin Green fight, a former NFL player here in Jacksonville. Congratulations to Tony Khan. He got like the promoter of the year, which is really saying something. Things are really taking off for AE Wrestling here in Jacksonville. So, AE Wrestling, AEW, I know what you mean. My bad. All Elite Wrestling here in Jacksonville. As a lifelong wrestling fan, I continuously say that the biggest problem I have today with wrestling is we can't find a good collection of bad guys. And that is so surprising to me, considering how many bad human beings there are in our country.
Absolutely.
Why can't we find them and throw them in the ring, for crying out loud?
I mean, we can, and there are a lot of good heels. If you've watched recently, I mean, Roman Reigns in the WWE is probably one of the best heels going right now. Mm-hmm. But you also have...
Son of the... Samoans.
Right. Yes, he is.
Afa and Sika. One of my all-time favorite groups of heels when they were being managed by Captain Lou Albano back in the old WWF days.
Right. Roman Reigns right now is putting the WWE in the backpack and he's carrying. But if you want to talk about AEW, MJF, Maxwell Jacob Friedman is that dude. I mean, he's probably the best heel on AEW, in my opinion.
How's he on the mic?
Oh, he's great on the mic. For a guy who's, what, 23? You should have saw him last year when he did promos against Cody Rhodes.
Right.
And I always talk to Big Country about wrestling before, you know, I get on with your show, and I'm like...
As do I.
Right. But I said, listen, I don't like this guy. We went to the same AEW event, the live event, and I was like, I don't like him. And he's like, he knows how to cut promos. But he also lives out his character really like when he's in the street. So if he saw you and me, the way he acts in the ring, he would act towards you and me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
Kayfabe.
The kayfabe. Another great wrestling term. And, sadly, I've been out of it for a little bit. Probably the longest stretch I've been out of it since perhaps when I was tending bar at Florida State in the early 90s, because I was working back then, I don't even know if they had VCRs or whatever. I don't know. For one reason or another, I just missed it because I was working. And it hasn't rattled my chain as of late. I'll come back to it. I always do. But right now, I'm kind of on the outside looking in. Anyway, should be a pretty good event coming up next week with Shaq in town. All right, getting a lot of response to that. That I threw out there with Bob Costas. For the most part, I want to leave that alone. I may read a few of these a little bit later on in the program, but I do want to move along because we're very busy right here on this Friday. For starters, boy, it did not take long. After wondering about negotiations between Disney and the NFL and the ridiculous amount of money that apparently the National Football League was asking for, somewhere in the neighborhood of $3.5 billion, this deal got done less than a week after it was originally reported by the Sports Business Journal. It's now set and in place for the next 10 years. So Monday Night Football is going to remain on ESPN. As far as I'm concerned, it should be on ABC. I think more people have ABC than they do ESPN. Again, they didn't ask for my opinion. But it's going to be a 10-year deal. It's also going to return the Super Bowl to ABC ESPN for the first time since 2006. Now, the terms of the deal have yet to be announced, but it's believed to be somewhere in the neighborhood of about $2.4, $2.6 billion per year. And if you look at everything that is going to transpire when they redo deals with CBS, Fox, NBC, there's even a couple of reports out there that now state that Amazon is probably going to take over Thursday night football in the NFL. You're going to be looking somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 billion a year on the television market alone. $10 billion being split up by 32 NFL owners. So it gets me to the point that I've been making really the entire offseason. Who's the blame here? Which way do you look at it? And for starters, all of this, in my opinion, really benefits Jacksonville, okay? Because Jacksonville has the most money. Jacksonville also has the most draft capital. Jacksonville right now, if this figure is somewhere in the neighborhood of, let's say, $185 million, and I've seen it reported that it will go as low as 182. We know it won't go below 180, and the current cap is at 198.2. The Jaguars would have somewhere in the neighborhood of $83 million to spend. Honestly, I think the players are getting a raw deal here. And we heard from Demoris Smith yesterday, the National Football League Players Association executive director, who basically told NFL agents to collude. All right, to not allow teams to just jettison them, just to cut them for financial reasons. Find ways to, I don't know how they're going to do it amongst the league, and it's going to be very interesting to watch and see how this type of stuff actually does take place. It seems like daily, you know, we're having guys who end up getting cut, and they're obviously for salary cap reasons. And I know that's always been the standard. What? It was Adam Humphrey who was released yesterday. Okay, today the Texans say goodbye to Duke Johnson. Today the Texans say goodbye to starting center Nick Martin. That's why my opinion on this is it's all going to be really beneficial for Jacksonville. Nate Solder, who was the highest paid left tackle in the NFL going back, what, three, four seasons ago when he left New England, opted out this year. A lot of people in New York think he's going to be cut before March 17th. That opens up another possibility for the Jaguars here. So what I'm getting at is I think the players are getting the raw deal. The money is going to come back. The cap shouldn't drop $15 to $16 million. But the reason why I'm okay with it, it's going to hurt other teams. It's not going to hurt Jacksonville. If you understand what I'm trying to say here. Jacksonville's on the other side of this with the amount of money that they do have. The fact that they're an incredibly young team. You want more of this. I was kind of hoping that this situation, the negotiations with Disney and others would happen after the salary cap platform was already announced. I think this deal rolling in today can only put into effect raising the current floor up. And let's say right now the floor is 182.5. I don't know what it is. By this announcement right here, it could go up to $185 million, okay? And again, that's not all that much. It's only $2.5 million. But if you try to follow with what I'm throwing out to you, as much as I want happiness, I want bargaining, okay, I want governing, I want people to be happy. The last thing we want to hear about is disputes between owners and the National Football League Players Association. Man, I just wish they could have held off for 2 weeks. Because it's not too often around here where you can look at the league as a whole and say the Jaguars are the one organization that's really benefiting more than anyone else. Force more guys to be cut. Force more teams to panic because they want draft picks and they want to cut proven players who carry a high price tag to all of a sudden throw them out into the open market. I think we're going to see more players this year sign with teams based on a one-year show-me deal. I do. If you get 75% in stands as far as fans, you know, up to 75% capacity for the 2021 season after these TV deals, there's no way that the salary cap is going to flatline or dip during the 2022 season. So I think it's a one-year crutch. And I've heard a lot of people complain about this, how they don't like it. And I understand it. The point I'm trying to make is if you're a Jags fan, you should be rotting this thing out. This only favors the Jaguars. I just, again, not to be redundant, kind of wish that the timing on all this would take place, you know, after March 17th or right at March 17th when you can officially start signing free agents, the league year begins, and you know exactly what the salary cap figure is going to be for 2021. So there you go. I didn't realize that Monday Night Football or, you know, the team at ABC had not had a Super Bowl since 2006. You know, it had been with CBS, it had been with Fox, it had been with NBC. Can you imagine being Monday Night Football? You're going to be spending now somewhere in the neighborhood of $2.5 billion, $2.6 billion a year, and you can't get your broadcasting team correct. You know, Steve Levy, Lou Riddick, Brian Griese, didn't love them, didn't really dislike them. They were just kind of there. You know, the last couple of years, critics said it was an absolute disaster with Joe Tessitore and with Booga McFarlane. And for 1 year, what, they had Jason Witten in the booth? I mean, look at the money that's being spent. What is Disney going to do about this? I mean, there's reports that they're going to offer Jim Nantz somewhere in the neighborhood of $17 million a year. That's what Tony Romo is making. Hey, Tony Romo is grossly overpaid. I like Tony Romo, but people just act like he's the second coming. Jim, it's going to be a running play. Okay, Tony, it's third and one. You think it's going to be a running play?
It's going to be a running play. It's a running play.
Let's give $1 million a game. I mean, again, he's good. He is. But, I mean, it's like he's not John Smoltz. Okay? He's not Eddie Olchuk, in my opinion. I think Eddie Olchuk is absolutely phenomenal in hockey. And, you know, I'm going to miss Doc. And, you know, he's announced his retirement. And, you know, that's a big blow for hockey fans with Doc Emrick. Joe Buck, and if you know, you can put aside his arrogance, and I'm a Joe Buck guy. There are times he gets a little bit full of himself. You know, you just got to be Joe, just let the game, you know what. But John Smoltz is unbelievable at what he does as far as being an analyst pitch to pitch in Major League Baseball. Tony Romo just gets all of this love, and frankly, I don't understand it. But anyway. Can ABC spend $2.5 billion a year and walk Steve Levy, Lou Riddick, and Brian Griese back out there? Or are they going to have to make a serious run? You know, do they go after, again, Peyton Manning? I guess Drew Brees is going to NBC. Money shouldn't be an issue. If you're paying $2.5 billion for the rights, you should have no problem playing $10, $12, $14, $15 million a year for the premier broadcaster in all of sports. A lot of people think Nance could be had. It would also help bring the Masters away from CBS to ESPN, where they already have coverage Thursday and Friday. I don't think it'll happen. CBS would have to be a fool to let Jim Nance get away. He does way too many good things. He does football. He does college basketball. He's unbelievable on the PGA Tour. Hopefully that's not the case. Anyway, just wanted to share that with you. Let us there. So again, if you're being told at a bar somewhere, or you know, whether you're in a salon or a saloon, I don't know, on this Friday, and people are questioning it, this is a good thing for the Jaguars, no doubt about it. All right, let's get some reaction from you. 641-1010, that is the number. That is where you can get me on the text line. You can also get us on Twitter. My name is Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL on Twitter.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, breaking news about an hour or so ago, if you did not hear, the season is over for JU. And it's disappointing. They were getting ready to host the A-Sun Conference Tournament. But COVID and COVID-related issues have hit the JU program. So they will end their season at 11-13. Hate it for the young men. I do. Damn pandemic. And, you know, in itself, it is going to be really unlike any conference tournament that we have ever seen before in college basketball. Again, just look at this week. Number 4 Ohio State lost. Number 5 Illinois lost. Number 6 Bama lost. Number 7 OU lost. Number 9, Iowa lost. And we didn't get a game between number 2 and number 10, which would have been Baylor, West Virginia, because of COVID. Baylor hasn't played since February 2nd. But as I said at the start of the show, just imagine if that was college football. In college basketball, it really didn't matter all that much. You can lose these games and you still have an opportunity. You just have to get yourself right. But the point I'm trying to make is, it's really anyone's show this year. And COVID really plays into it. The result, you have a poll question out there, RJ Saunders.
Poll question. As we get closer to the weekend, into the night with Rick Ballou. Our poll question for the nightlife, as March Madness and the NCAA comes closer, draws near. Who would you go with to win the national championship? Would you go with number 1, Gonzaga, who is undefeated so far, 23-0. They're at 25%. Number 2, Baylor.
Nope.
Also undefeated, 18-0. 6.3% vote that they would win. Would you go with 17-1, Michigan?
Yeah, you can make a point there. Oh, yeah.
Winners of 6 straight, 6.3%. Or would you go with the field, like, I don't know, 14-3 FSU, 62.5%, say they're going with the field this year?
We'll check in with Chris Knee at 7 o'clock. He'll be at Hauser. The Florida State-Pitt series gets underway tonight in baseball, but I want to talk to him about basketball with Florida State. I really haven't done a lot of that at all this year, and, you know, it's time to take notice. This team's 10-2 in conference. They have, in the losing column, a 2-game lead over Virginia. Virginia won't even play this weekend. They've played far more games than Florida State. Let's say they played 20 games. Florida State's played 16. FSU 13-3. Make that now 14-3 overall. Who takes the game-winning shot for the Noles? That's kind of where I've been stuck on this ever since I watched them play Miami midweek. And the reason why I raise that is, you know, they put up 88 points against Miami. They did whatever they wanted against the U. The Miami Hurricanes have been devastated this year by injuries. And they're just they're a bad team. Okay. I was listening to Dan Bonner, who I have a lot of respect for, and he was making the point that they're playing hard for Jim Larrañaga. Whenever you hear that someone's playing hard for a coach, that's kind of the translation of saying they suck. And that is the case this year for Miami. They're down. Florida State owns them. Florida State's won 7 in a row against the U. Florida State's won 7 in a row against the University of Florida. I know that doesn't get mentioned around here with all the Gator media. It's kind of don't say it. Of course I'm going to say it. Hell, I may even spray it all over this microphone. I'm so damn elated about what's going on.
I don't think you want to do that. There are reasons.
I'm just a kidding. I'm just kidding. But who takes the game-winning shot for FSU? I'm going to ask Chris Needat. He's going to join us coming up next hour. The answer to your question, though, overwhelming. You can even, you know, and I've said all along, it's the two undefeated teams. It's the Baylor Bears. It's the it's Gonzaga. I mean, those are two programs that have never won a national title. And for me, that means something. I mean, when's the last time Michigan won it? 89? Right? Ramil Robinson on the free throw line against Seton Hall. It had to have been.
Glenn Rice was on that team.
They never won it with the Fab Five.
No. It was Glenn Rice and
Ramil Robinson.
Yeah, but the GM for the league, Rob Pelinka.
Yep.
Was on that team.
Okay. Beat Seton Hall. I actually played football against Ramil Robinson. He's out of Cambridge and Latin High School, the same school that produced Patrick Ewing.
Did Pat win a natty?
Pat who, Ewing?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. He won it in 84 with Georgetown. Then they lost to Villanova when they shot like 80% from the field in 1985.
I remember that one.
Stuart Granger and company.
Yeah. I mean, they always Eddie played Pinkney. That on ESPN Classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the greatest college basketball games ever played. But that one between Michigan and Seton Hall was very good, too, in 1989. And Michigan hasn't won anything since then. Now, I was in Illinois. They had all those great teams, those three-guard offenses. I'm trying to remember the names now. Luther Head and Cook and Deron Smith?
At Illinois?
Yeah.
Darren Williams.
Darren Williams. That was it. And you know, they had some very good teams. James Augustine inside, but they never were able to really get over the hump. I would love to be offered this type of play. Are people really going to select Gonzaga and Baylor combined over the field? I mean, you're nuts. You can't do that. No way. And Gonzaga's had some nice early season victories. Folks, Baylor hasn't played since February 2nd. Look at how sluggish Florida was after they missed a few games. Look at how sluggish Florida State was after he missed a couple of games. Did you see their effort at Wake Forest when they came off of, you know, nearly a three-week hiatus, COVID-related? It has effects, you know, it has an effect on programs. And let me see, Baylor, you know, they're all postponed, for crying out loud. Thursday night's game was postponed. They are scheduled to take on Kansas. Ooh, that's going to be at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. ESPN has got them lined up. You got Florida State, North Carolina at 4 o'clock tomorrow on the mothership. And then at 8 o'clock that night, wow, Kansas and Baylor. What an awesome weekend that is. For college basketball, there's some great games. Illinois, Wisconsin, obviously Florida in it against Kentucky. Alabama trying to rebound after losing the other night. You know, it's just how different these two sports really are, that you can lose right now in college basketball and it doesn't mean anything. But you lose in college football, for the most part, your season is over. I mean, just think about that. If there was a weekend where five of the top nine teams lost in college football, what the so-called experts would be saying about that particular sport. Instead, it's standard, man. It's just so top-heavy. And, you know, listen, I love college football. But the issue that that sport has right now is you can go to college football. I mean, again, you're going out tonight with your knucklehead buddies and you're doing whatever you want to do. You can honestly say tonight, on the 26th day of February, give me four teams, and you can feel incredibly comfortable about the fact that one of the four teams that you select will be winning a national championship next year in college football. I mean, seriously, look at it. You need to add Oklahoma to the mix because they're one of the only frontline teams who didn't lose their quarterback. What really hurts Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Ohio State is that they have lost their quarterbacks. But where are you going to go outside of that group? If I was picking four teams right now without even thinking about it, I would go Bama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and either Georgia or Ohio State. That would be my top four. And I would absolutely give you the field there. Take the field. Give me those four schools. Now, Georgia hasn't won since 1980, for crying out loud, which is really a modern-day disgrace. There's no other way to say it. And I'm a dog guy. At least I am once a year when they face the Gators. But, I mean, no one has more pressure on Georgia right now than any other school in college football. And I'm talking about lame-ass, awful programs like Tennessee and Florida State and the fact that Michigan can't defeat Ohio State and some other programs that have really dealt with some difficult times. No one has more pressure than Georgia. Hell, Georgia Tech won a title in 91. Everyone around Georgia has won it. They haven't done anything in 41 years. Georgia needs to win it. You make that pick, there's going to be a lot of people just kind of laugh and say, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. But who else are you going to take? You going to Northwestern me on a Friday? Huh? You going to tell me that Iowa State's got it all going on? Brock, you know, Brock Purdy at Iowa State? Old Chubba's down in Tallahassee. We got Brock Purdy at Iowa. What? You going to Cincinnati me? I'm not in the mood for Bearcat talk. Not on this Friday. I'm in way too good of a mood. You going to tell me that, you know, Kellen Mond's out, that Jimbo's got him running rapid right now at Texas A&M? Once Jimbo Fisher ever does anything at Texas A&M, he's going to grab the job at Auburn or LSU or, dare I say, Alabama. You know that. Okay, he went 8-1 last year. Bravo. Any more success like that, you and I both know, no one hangs himself out and flirts more than Jimbo Fisher. I mean, just look at college football. It's damaged. You can pick the four teams right now. You can in college basketball. It's wide open. And with COVID, holy Toledo, who knows what's going to happen in the month of March? What an unbelievable and unpredictable month it is going to be. Stay with that next. Let's go to God's country. Bring in Chris Knee. Talk about the Noles. Give them a little bit of love. I've always been a big Leo Hamilton guy, right, RJ Saunders?
Absolutely.
Hell yeah. That's coming up next.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The hell is that? Some sort of chorus or something? What, are you part of the Glee Club now?
Glee Club? Oh, my goodness, man. Gangsta's Paradise? Are you kidding me?
I'm not a chorus guy.
I'm not a chorus guy either, but, I mean, I felt like it went with the vibe because we're going to God's country. I would think that Tallahassee is a gangster's paradise.
Do you need me to slap the Black Tornado on you?
Ooh. I don't know if it would be hard as Shaq's, though. Although, I mean, you know, I wouldn't mess with you in an alleyway. I'm not going to lie.
It's going to be a lot of fun on Wednesday night. All right, a lot of reaction to what Bob Costas said. You can continue to do that on the text line, 641-1010. And, you know, the poll question is out there. What a bizarre year in college basketball. I mean, number 4, 5, 6, 7, and 9 have already lost this week. And as I've said it a couple of times, just imagine if that was college football. Imagine what would be thrown around in that particular sport. I guess it's kind of expected in college basketball. And frankly, it doesn't matter as long as you get yourself right by the month of March. You know, bad news around here. If you haven't heard, it was announced a little bit more than an hour ago, but JU's hosting the ASUN Tournament Championship, and they're no longer able to play COVID-related issues. Their season comes to an end with a record of 11-13. So it's over for JU. Let's head to God's country, though. The Noles have it rolling. They've won four in a row, an impressive victory this past midweek. I think it was Wednesday night when they knocked off the U for the seventh consecutive time, a victory of 88-71. Let's go live to Dick Houser, where Chris Nee is there. He is the publisher for 24/7 Sports covering Florida State. Chris, how you doing?
Good. How about you, Rick?
I'm doing well. How are things at the ballpark as far as attendance and things like that? How many are they allowing in?
They're allowing about 25%. So it's not your normal Houser crowd, but people that are here are still trying to make it loud. Right now, FSU's down. When I came out of press box out of backside, they were down 1-0. I'm not sure if they've allowed any more, but so far, so good. Parker Messick, the ace, is on the mound. He's doing pretty well. I think he's giving up an RBI double.
Yep.
Houser's not your normal Houser, but it might get back to it by the end of the year, hopefully.
Yeah, let's hope so. I mean, who knows with everything that's happening. And, boy, the effect that could have, you know, now on the tournament is, you know, still a couple of regular season games left for all schools, including Florida State, who will be at North Carolina tomorrow. But it's about avoiding these issues. And, you know, Florida State went through about a two-and-a-half-week period where they weren't able to play games. What have they done, Chris? Has anything been different with the players, you know, when they're out and about to try to do whatever it takes not to bring COVID back into the locker room?
No, they've attempted to be as careful as humanly possible around these birds. Leonard Hamilton's obviously a bit older in age. He's also a guy who, even before COVID was the thing, was somewhat a germaphobe. So he's tried to set a good example with his guys. The way I understand it from talking to people around Hoops with the two pauses that they've had is that the issue is once you confirm a positive state that you have a positive, contact tracing so quickly can take out a basketball team because there's a limited amount of people and they're all around each other so regularly. So it happens very quickly. And, you know, the first pause, they could have come back a little bit earlier and played Pitt. That just didn't happen for whatever reason between the two schools. They decided against it. And then the second pause came about. But in neither case was it, like, an outrageous behavior or them really doing something wrong. But obviously they're trying to steer the ship the right way, get to March, get the ACC tournament, get to the NCAA tournament, have no more issues going forward. Because anytime you pause, it's so tough to come back and be a solid ball club. They've been lucky in both instances to come back and play pretty well. But if you look around the landscape of the nation, a lot of schools have struggled with that. It's very evident in the ACC, for example. Louisville, Clemson, both have struggled mightily when they came back to pauses.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it's really run rampant. I mean, look at a team like Baylor. They haven't played since February 2nd, and they're ranked number 2 in America. All right, I'm sure you're asked this all the time, so here I go with, you know, Vassal and Forrest and Patrick Williams. In your opinion, where is this team compared to the team that we saw a year ago?
I think last year's team kind of knew exactly who they were as they were getting ready to hit March. I think this year's team understands they can be really stinking good, but they've not yet reached the point where they are that. Some of that is the pauses. Some of that is injuries. They've dealt with a fair amount of injuries, a couple guys out here and there. For example, MJ Walker, leading scorer, out in the last game. I think the key for them as they lead up to their trip to Greensboro for the ACC tournament is play these next three games, get as healthy as possible, get just consistency on the court. You know, Leonard Hamilton today was talking about they're a really good ball club. You don't win 10 games in the ACC by accident, but he knows that this team can be so much better. And I think the key for them is to get together, play together, and kind of figure it out defensively. When you're a team that switches on everything as FSU does, it's so much about the understanding what to do instead of communicating what to do. And that just comes with reps. And that's something where FSU's been disjointed this year at kind of getting a consistent theme of that. I think if they get into March and they're playing, you know, 5-6 games in a row before the ACC tournament, a couple games that week, I think that's a real good sign for them going into the NCAA tournament that they can be a really high-level defensive club. For example, first half Virginia, that's about as good of defense as you're going to see from a team. They had Virginia entirely bothered. If they play that level of defense, they can go deep in the game.
All right, Glennon Hamilton has always had, you know, a very good defensive basketball team, and obviously this one is incredibly athletic. The biggest question that I have with this team in only 17 games that they have played, Chris, if they're down a bucket and the game is on the line with the players that we just mentioned who are no longer there, who takes the game-winning shot on this team?
you know, they've not had that moment much this year, and we knew it was Trent Burrus last year, for example. I think it's Raekwon Gray, especially with the way he's played over the last 9-10 games. He's really taking control of it. But I could also see them going to MJ Walker, a guy who's been through a hell of a lot of games, been through the wars, kind of understands the idea, understands, you know, put yourself in the best position for the best shot at the end of the game. So I'd probably go Turk, Raekwon Gray first, but MJ Walker would be in that discussion. But it's not as clear cut as it's been in recent years with a guy like Trent Burrus, or even dating ourselves a bit, Michael Smear down the road of several years ago.
Chris Nee, our guest from 24/7 Sports, covering Florida State. He is the site publisher. The Noles have a 2-game lead right now in the ACC as far as the loss column is concerned. Virginia has played more games. Florida State goes to North Carolina to play tomorrow at 4 o'clock. All right, Gray, I saw the graphic, Wednesday night against Miami, and it blew me away. I want to say, 8 games in his first 70-plus? He scored in double figures. Now he's done it like 9 in a row. So what has really been the determining factor in how this man has picked up his game as of late?
Well, during that streak of 9 in a row, he's averaging 15.9 per game, and he's had 3 double-doubles, and he's averaging, I think, around 9 boards per game in that stretch, too. I think the thing for Turk, Raekwon Gray, his nickname's Turk. I'm sorry, we all call him Turk around these parts. The thing with Turk is that he's just figured out, well, one, he got himself in shape. That's been a huge leap for him over his first 2 years on campus, your first 3 years as a redshirt junior. He got himself in shape. But the other thing is he's just figured out when to call his number, when to drive it to the basket, when to settle for the jump shot but take a quality jump shot, when to play for the rebound and the putback. I think it's just a matter of those 73 games where he had 8 double-figure games have paid off with these 9 where he's just figured out who and what he is and how to do it. And he's a heck of a matchup issue. If you put a forward on him, he's faster than most forwards. If you put a guard on him, he's certainly bigger than most guards. He's definitely wider than most guards. So he's a heck of a matchup issue. And he's learned how to take advantage of that while keeping himself out of foul trouble and having the stamina to play more minutes.
Chris, Wednesday night, Florida State scored 88 points. 55 came off the bench. And, you know, Leonard Hamilton, that's always been a standard for him. But right now he's got 9 guys on the roster that are giving Florida State more than 15 minutes. When you get into the month of March, you always hear about shortening the bench. But Leo has never really fallen into that particular plan. Do you see that changing, beginning in a couple of weeks? Or do you think he's going to keep it rolling the way that he has?
I think he's going to stick with the depth. You may see a guy like Quincy Ballard, a true freshman center who's not really ready for prime time yet. He's probably not going to see many minutes. A guy like Tenor Engome against more physical bigs, he's probably not going to play as much. But other than those two, I don't think there's a whole lot of guys that they rely upon that they're going to walk away from. He loves it. His depth is hilarious because, you know, he's got a guy like Scotty Barnes who's probably going to be a lottery pick coming off the bench. It will be the second consecutive year after he probably has a lottery pick that comes off the bench. I mean, that just speaks to the philosophy. And the thing is, it's almost like hockey, and I know you're an avid hockey fan, as am I. It's like they got line. You know, they're going to run that first line at you and make you play real hard for a 4 or 8-minute segment. And then they're going to run that next line at you. You're not going to be able to counter it, and they're still going to run you as hard as they did in those first 4 or 8 minutes. That's why FSU is so good in the final 10 minutes of games in tight games, because they're able to wear down their opponents with most teams relying on 7, maybe 8 bodies. FSU is going to go at least 10, if not 11 or 12 deep. And heck, they got walk-ons they're willing to put out there because they've been here for so long. They're willing to give them spot duty to buy a guy a minute to get a little blow, get his ear back, and get back out there. Nah, that's Leonard. He loves his depth. You know, that's the strength of his program, and he believes wholeheartedly in it. So I don't see him shortening it drastically.
Yeah, interesting point you made. I mean, yeah, Patrick Williams last year didn't start. He's a lottery pick. Probably going to be the same thing this year with Scotty Barnes, or it's going to be the same thing with Scotty Barnes this year, coming off the bench, not starting, and going to be a lottery pick. All right, as we wrap things up, Carolina's been playing better basketball. They let one get away the other night against Marquette. Florida State exercised a demon, if you will, last weekend. They had struggled in their last 5 at Pitt. All that controversy with fouls and free throws, they won there. Your outlook on this game tomorrow at 4 o'clock?
Well, the first time around when FSU beat them in Tallahassee, they won on the boards. And I think Malik Osborne is such a big piece of that. Malik rolled his ankle against Miami. He's probably questionable, if not doubtful, for the game. So without him, I'm a little concerned about that factor, especially because I think UNC is a better interior team today than they were 45 days ago because a couple of young guys have come along. Plus, FSU's only 4-18 all time in the Smith Center. They've only swept UNC once in a season. That was 91-92, the one and cheese year for FSU. So it's so unusual to expect them to go there and win. I do think FSU goes there and win, but I think it's going to be a couple possession game at best. I don't think by any chance we're going to see FSU go up 20 points on another opponent as they've done to several ACC teams this year.
Florida State fans, make sure you check out 24/7 Sports with Chris Neal. I follow you and everything. What's the official title? 24/7 Knowles.
Knowles247.
Knowles247.
The official site.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on it all the time. I should know, but hey, it's Friday, and yeah, I forgot. But Chris, great stuff as always. I do appreciate it. Enjoy the baseball game there, and you know, hopefully, we'll talk deep into the tournament.
Thanks, Rick. Have a good one.
There he goes, Chris Neal does a real nice job with Florida State Knowles 24/7 Sports. He is the site publisher. And, you know, I have a tough time believing that this is a better team than last year's with, you know, Devin Vassell and Trent Forrest and certainly Patrick Williams. But a lot of people believe that this team could be just as good. You know, unfortunately, we have no idea what was going to happen last year or what would have taken place last year because things were canceled. As you know, it's been nearly a year. It was after the first round of the Players' Championship when everything started to get canceled. And who knows what's going to happen this year, but it should be a lot of fun. Yeah, it is a great, great day for college basketball coming up tomorrow. I'm going to be beach barring it. I'm going to get up early. I'm going to the beach. Getting with, you know, I got the girl with me. She's the DD.
Now, how early are we talking going to the beach?
I don't know if I'm going to get out there like around noon or 1 and soak up some sun for a couple of hours and then absolutely get in front of a television set at 4 o'clock for FSU North Carolina. I'll have to see. And I want to go too deep because I'm playing golf on Sunday, but it's supposed to be beautiful. And, I mean, just look at some of these games. I mean, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma coming up tomorrow is a huge game. You know, Illinois, Wisconsin is a big game. Texas, Texas Tech is a huge game. I watched Indiana, knock off Iowa. Boy, they played so bad, did the Hoosiers, for like the first 15, 16 minutes of the first half. They had like, I think, 16 points. And then they went on a tear within the last couple of minutes of the first half and then were able to turn around and get it done against Iowa in the second half. And, you know, just some real intriguing games coming up this weekend. Let me see what time the Gators play. Gators are in. You know, right now they need a better seed. That's a 4 o'clock game as well on So tomorrow at 4, you got Gators-Kentucky at 4 o'clock on CBS, and you've got Florida State and North Carolina on ESPN at 4 o'clock. How does that sound?
So how many TVs do you have at Blue's Bar? Because, I mean, I'd be sure
Blue's Bar has 4, but I'm going to be out at the beach.
Right, but I mean, you could always go back to the crib.
I always tape, just to be safe.
Okay.
Unlike we were talking about wrestling earlier, and when I was in the early 90s and I was bartending, I missed some things. I didn't know why. You had roommates and stuff. You couldn't trust anyone.
Right.
Now I can trust.
Right.
So I'll lay tape, but I want to watch it live. And, I mean, what an unbelievable 4 o'clock setting.
That's
Florida State, North Carolina at 4, Florida, Kentucky at 4 tomorrow.
So are you going to hit up the boys and be like, hey, party over at whatever bar we're going to or at Blue's Bar, we're about to watch a couple games?
No, we're going south. We're going to the beach, and I'm going to be around St. Augustine. So I know that there's some pretty good beach bars in St. Augustine. I'm just going to find one.
Bar hopping or no?
I don't know. I don't care. I'm not driving. I'm drinking. I'm having fun. Again, I don't want to do it too deep because I got a tee time at 1:40 on Sunday, so I got to get up early.
Are we having the GFDD again on Sunday?
Always. That's my principal rule. She drops me off at the golf course and comes and picks me. Absolutely. Okay? I do not believe in driving after drinking.
Okay, so do you have the cart people? Did you talk to the golf course about the cart people need to have drinks set up and ready for you guys at each hole?
Word got back to them. I didn't have to, based on this. I mean, I figured they put me on at night and the reaction wouldn't be the same. Oh, it got to him.
Oh, Rick Blue over here making demands.
All right, good stuff. Let's come back, grab some reaction from you. 641-1010 is the number. We got a lot to do right here on this Friday night. This is Into the Night.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Got a Seminole back on top of the PGA Tour. The Florida Swing underway. Swing! At the concession in Bradenton, where Patty Reed is your defending champion. Brooks Koepka today is 66. So he is 11 under par. Has a one-stroke lead over a Gator in Billy Horschel. Of course, Billy lives here in town, consecutive 67s on this par 72. So he is one stroke out. Best round of the day went to Colin Morikawa. He shot a 64. He is one of three golfers one stroke behind Koepka, along with, I believe he's from Australia. That is Cameron Smith. I believe that's an Australian flag. And I think back at Tim. And he is Australian. I need to refresh your course. I need to go back and look at flags.
Because sometimes they're confusing.
I know what the Irish flag is.
Right.
Obviously, I know what the United States flag is.
Right.
I know what the I see Hideki Matsuyama here. I know what the Japanese flag is.
Right.
But I need some work on some others. You forget. When did you learn about flags? 7th, 8th grade? I don't know.
No, that was early elementary school.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, hell, I mean,
I remember we had to do a report. We had to choose a country, and we had to use their flag. That was, for me, that was kindergarten. I did France.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. And I went to, one of the great school systems in America. I've always said I thought high school was a lot harder for me than college. The school system in Boston was absolutely tremendous. I just have no idea when you learned all about the flags. I mean, to me, it seems like years and years and years and years ago, and clearly it was. And I'm not saying that as a shot at Florida State. I think that's common practice. Okay, you young kids out there, if you're listening right now, 16, 17, 18, getting ready to pick a school, pick a college. Now, I'm not talking about being a doctor here. I'm not talking about being a lawyer here. I'm talking about if you are taking, basic undergraduate studies, and I have a criminology degree, if you understand how to manage your time, college is easier than high school, period. Agree? Disagree?
I agree. I mean, in high school, I wasn't the best, but I didn't manage my time correctly, and I thought I was above it in high school. Then I got to college, started applying myself, moved here, and at first I didn't want to be in Jacksonville, so I really just started applying myself thinking that I just graduate quickly, I'll be able to get out of here and move back to LA. But then I ended up liking it over here. Got into the bachelor's program here, got my degree, graduated with honors. I'm like, so this is how it feels. Oh, good.
I think there's a lot. Listen, in high school, you're up at what, 5:36 or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
And I remember the school bell rang at 1:50.
For you guys?
1:50.
Like, you guys were done at 1:50.
1:50. Yes. And then you're on the, football, hockey, baseball. You're on the field or ice by 2:30, right? And then you practice till 5 or 5:30, and then you get cleaned up, you go home, you eat, and you got a girlfriend that back then you got to spend some time on the phone with her, and you got to hit the books, and you're exhausted after a full day like that. I mean, there's not a lot of room to fool around. That's the biggest problem in college is that, you know, you have classes, you have so much downtime that if you know how to manage your time in college, especially if you're lucky enough where you don't have to work.
Right.
If mommy and daddy's footing the bill.
Right.
Learn how to manage your time, and college is a lot easier than high school.
It definitely is. However, I'm trying to figure out. So you went, high school was 8-1 for you?
Yeah, something like that.
High school was 8?
No. First bell was like 7:10 in the morning.
Oh, okay.
No. 8? Hell no.
We started in California, we started at 8, got off at 3. So, and then if you had basketball practice, that's 2 hours. So you're not getting home until 5.
Right.
If your mom has, you know, to do grocery shopping or something like that, you may not get home until about 6-7 o'clock. Then you have homework from all these teachers. And if you don't understand, you're trying to call friends up. If you have to study for a test, you know, that's the next day, you're calling other friends up. Yeah, it wasn't a fun time.
High school, I was begging to go to bed.
Yes.
I was exhausted, man.
Yes.
It's such a long day.
But college, I mean, once I found out how to kind of, one, apply myself, but just figure out like a schedule.
To me,
it was easy.
You know, a lot of buddies, you know, and you lose them, they would flunk out or they go to, you know, they'd flunk out and they go to TCC for a semester or a year. It was always because they didn't know how to manage time. It wasn't so much about them out partying. You'd see them during the midday. They'd be lounging on the couch. They'd be doing nothing. And, you know, I'm not some smarty pants here, but I'm just merely stating a fact. Unless you have an incredibly difficult major, okay, and there are some of you out there who have done that and will do that, if you learn how to manage your time, college should be a lot easier, a heck of a lot easier. So great scores today. Pat Reed, 8-under, Kevin Kisner, 8-under, Tony Finau, 9-under, Webb Simpson, 9-under, Matt Fitzpatrick, 9-under. Justin Thomas responded today with a 66. He's got it at -5. So, first link of the Florida swing. Let's see some recent winners. Daniel Berger, even to par. Adam Scott was even today. Last week's winner, Max Homa, who lives right here in Jacksonville, has got it at -1 after a 70. DJ let it get away yesterday, had a 77. Improved today with a 69. Boy, he let it get away on Sunday last week as well out in Los Angeles. So there you have it. That is basically the nuts and bolts. We'll get ready for the third round coverage at the Concession Golf Club in Bradenton, Florida, the home of Peter Warwick. You need yourself a number 9 now. Every school needs itself a number 9. The great Peter Warwick. All right, how does the poll looking? Where are people going with all this now?
Poll question. Mm-hmm. We're getting closer to the weekend here. Into the night. Rick Ballew, nightlife. We ask you, as March Madness draws closer in the NCAA, who would you go with to win the national championship this year? Are you going to go with undefeated number 1 Gonzaga?
Hell no.
That's at 20% right now, Rick. Number 2, also undefeated, Baylor,
4%. Hell no. How many?
4%.
Yeah.
Number 3, Michigan, winners of 6 straight, 17-1 currently on the year. It's only at 10%. Rick, everybody right now, as far as the poll question is concerned, at 66% are taking the field.
Absolutely. It's the right play. It is the right play. See all the money that was dropped on the New York Jets in the last couple of days with sharps?
Okay. Do what?
Well, the feeling is that to win the Super Bowl.
When?
This year.
Oh, stop it.
I'm telling you, sharps in Vegas, I read a story about it today. It's reminiscent to a year ago at this time where sharps thought that Tampa Bay would get Tom Brady. So there were people that began dropping money on the Buccaneers and getting sensational odds, like, you know, 100-1 or 60-1 or whatever it was. And Brady came over there, and we saw what just happened. Apparently, a lot of the wise guys in Las Vegas believe that that is where Deshaun Watson is going to end up with the New York Jets.
Oh, no. I mean, listen, there's been too many teams. What, a couple days ago, it was he's going to go to Denver. Denver's going to give Houston something nice, and he'll head off to Denver. We don't know where these
wise guys know. Are you going to question them?
Right now, yes.
Okay.
I don't think anybody knows right now.
The one who questioned him, his name is Saunders, not Ballou. There you have it. We'll see what does take place. All right, we'll put our final thoughts on this one. Get you ready for the weekend. It's going to be a fascinating one. It's going to be a great one. No question about it. We're going to say goodbye to February. I'm one of those guys who believes we're getting better as the months move on. January still felt like 2020. February was a little bit better. I see good things in the month of March. I really do. And I didn't even check the numbers today. Let me look at the COVID numbers. But anyway, let's hope things start to get a little bit better as we head to that. I mean, what's there not to love about March with the players, with the NCAA tournament, with free agency in the NFL, with things really heating up, you know, in the NHL, in the NBA. And, of course, we'll get even closer to opening day in Major League Baseball. I was reading today about the top 25 players under 25, kind of a refresher course. And there's some sick talent right now in Major League Baseball. So looking forward to that season beginning as well. All right, final thoughts coming up with Rick Ballou. Good to have you with us right here on this Friday night.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, I failed to mention that Cameron Smith now lives in Pontevedra. You look at the leaderboard, and it's got a lot of Jacksonville, North Florida ties. With Billy Horschel, one stroke behind Brooks Koepka. And Cameron Smith with him. And I guess I also mentioned Max Homa, who, of course, won last week. Homa today with a 70. He's well back. He's at minus one. So he is 10 strokes behind Brooks Koepka. But, I for one, lose a little bit with golf during football season. I just do. And I kind of miss the old days where you had the Mercedes Championships beginning in Hawaii in January. And then you went through the entire West Coast swing and then the Florida swing. But yeah, I will say that really since football has come to an end, or I would say the last 7 or 8 weeks, I have really been heavily into the sport once again. And this is a great time of year, especially when they roll through our state. So it's going to be a great golf month coming up here in March. All right, thank you to truckcrashlaw.com. Usually we do news and notes. We're not going to get to a great deal of them tonight because we've been so busy. But, I just want to remind you that we see horrific accidents, car accidents, truck accidents. The fact that you got to be a defensive driver nowadays because half the people are driving and texting. So you got to be on the defense. But if there is a serious accident and it happens because of a truck or a tractor trailer or an RV or a bus or anything like that, please get to their family, the name truckcrashlaw.com. They're based right here in Jacksonville, and they're the only folks in the entire state of Florida who do this full-time. It's why they're so good at it. And Joe Camerlengo is a good buddy of mine, and I've watched his practice explode because all of their expertise is in this field. I hope you don't ever have to call them. If you're aware of something like this that happens at school, in the office, you hear about it, please get the name to them. Truckcrashlaw.com. Did you hear about the Matthew Judon story?
Oh, yeah, about I know some things about you. I know what you did last summer. I got pictures of you, brother.
This is incredible as far as I am concerned. I was reading today, one of the guys we had on last night, Chad Forbes, said Judon is one of the guys that he believes Jacksonville is going to make a run at, somewhere in the neighborhood of about $14 million a year. But nonetheless, he was, I guess, on a he was on a podcast or something where, this is according to Awful Announcing, where the Ravens linebacker has taken serious issue with someone on the Ravens beat over at ESPN.com. His name is Jameson Hensley. And he went out and said, in fact, reported that the Ravens had offered Judon a long-term deal in the range of $16.5 million annually, and that Judon declined the offer. Well, obviously, Judon's upset about this because he's gone as far, and I quote Judon, as he says this, "I'm waiting on your ESPN-sourced apology, or I'm leaking these photos I got with you in a strip club." End of quote.
Want to mess with me, boy? Do you want to mess with me?
I've been doing this for a very long time. I can't even think of something that is remotely similar to this particular situation.
I mean, threatening a reporter? Why are you going after the reporter guy, man?
And let me start by saying this. I don't know anything at all about Jameson Hensley. I don't know if he's married. I don't know if he's single. I don't know what's going on. But there's nothing illegal about being in a strip club.
No. But I'm pretty sure he's just trying to say, oh, that would put a big dent in your career. You were found at the... So I don't know how many reporters we've seen like go or have been reported to go to a adult chicken wing establishment, to quote James Coleman. But, I mean, maybe he's saying, you know, listen, that could...
Coleman doesn't go. Coleman does curbside pickup. I've seen him before. Okay, right outside of Wacko's. He just drives by and they hand him the 20 to go.
Some lemon peppers.
But, I mean, ESPN's not going to fire this reporter because he was in a strip club unless they have a rule that says you're not allowed to go into a gentleman's club. I've been lucky enough that I've only worked for a couple of different companies in the period of time that I've done this, but I've never been told you're not allowed to go into a gentleman's club. So it makes you wonder, does ESPN have a policy that states that? Or number two, and this is what I really got out of it, what is he doing in these photos that are so off limits, if you will?
He's probably making it rain a lot. Popping bottles, probably, you know, something like a scene from The Hangover. He's probably going crazy like that. And
bro, he's a reporter. He's a beat reporter.
Right, but they probably didn't think they would see him out
he's
there.
He's not making it rain. You know how reporters are, man. They can't wait for their next free meal.
Probably, and he was probably getting a free meal at the establishment. Probably knew somebody who knew somebody that let him in, and he was making it rain a couple dollars. They said, go crazy. He went crazy.
All right. We'll see what happens here. I want a rebuttal by Jameson. I want to hear this. I mean, to me, this is just, again, it's unlike anything I've ever seen before, where a player is saying, I mean, here's a player who could be making anywhere from $14 to $16.5 million yearly, and he is really bothered by the comments made by a beat reporter with the Baltimore Ravens. So we'll see what ends up coming out of it. But, you know, I thought that was fascinating. No question about it. All right, what do you got planned this weekend? What's coming up?
I mean, I don't really have anything planned this weekend overboard. I mean, I'm going to be here at the studio in the morning doing Compton and Company from noon to 2. Then after,
well, that's fun.
Right.
Well.
Right. And then after that, I'll be getting a gift for the GF. We're coming up on 1 year.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Curbside? You going curbside, picking up some wings?
We're not. I'm not doing that. No. But, yeah, going to be doing those things as I make the journey there. So, yeah.
Congratulations, man. 1 year in.
Arigato.
There you go. That is RJ Saunders.
Now, the two-minute drill on 1010XL.
All right, James Coleman's here. It's time for the sports desk.
This girl's too high maintenance.
His girl is?
She's had a birthday, Christmas, and a 1-year anniversary.
Wow.
On a producer salary?
Whoa.
Now, whoa. RJ is frugal.
Yeah.
Because RJ skipped Christmas. he skipped Christmas, but it was cute.
Yeah,
he was panicked. We had to talk him off the ledge, man. We were like, "Hey, man,
have you met her? She came to our remote. I met her. She's a very nice lady.
Yeah, he told us, and then he didn't live it up. Yeah. If he would have told us, we would have sent some people there to be like, "Yo, are you RJ? RJ, like, let me get a picture with you. You gotta make the big time where you're at. Because right now she's just like." Yeah, he's some hack. I don't know. He has a job. He makes a little bit of money. But that would have made him, like, larger than life. She would have loved the job. But congratulations, though, man.
No doubt. 1 year. That's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, relationships nowadays, yeah. I mean, they die out in days or weeks, maybe months, not years. You know? That's good.
I'm glad for him. Happy for him. But
I've been with the same girl for almost 12 years, but. That's me. You know my reputation. That's just the way I am. You know, same guy, same woman, same meal. Crab house.
I eat same vehicle. Meal, truck. I eat the same meal everywhere I go until they mess it up. And then when they mess it up, it's like I don't want it anymore. I need something. I got to find something.
You always
new.
Have a little something going on, your opinion on whether it's fast food or real good food, or you got quite an opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's
on that
one, I have a very strong stance on Arby's, and my friends gave me a very hard time yesterday. They making memes and putting Arby's all in my.
I can't remember the last time I went to Arby's, but I like Arby's.
But see what you just said right there. You can't remember, like you've never woke up and just said, you know what, I got a hankering for some Arby's.
Well, I'm the guy. If I look at fast food, I put on 10 pounds.
Right. So, but I mean, most of the people I know, I've never heard anybody say. I want to go to Arby's. I've heard my kids, McDonald's. Right? Mm-hmm. I've heard people say that. Not recently, I've heard people say, hey, I want to go to Burger King. I've heard people say a lot of, even it proves with the line. We drive by Arby's every day to get here.
What's the best fast food sandwich right now? Because I don't know.
Ooh,
I do subs.
Right now, I gotta give it to Zaxby's.
Okay.
Zaxby's has a chicken sandwich I would give it to Popeye's, but it's no. You don't know if it's going to even be there when you go there. It's delicious, but you don't know if you're going to get it. Zaxby's, that chicken sandwich they got is on point, man.
I'm going that route, I go with a sub.
Now, subs are always, I mean, to be honest with you, they don't, like, this place doesn't pay me, but they always have. Jersey Mike, if you're going to go with a chain, was it Angie's on the Beach? I haven't been there in a while, but I still crave it.
Publix
really
is pretty good, man. Publix is
solid. And like you just said, like you've been with the same woman 12 years, order the same thing. I go to Publix, if I get a chicken tender sub, I know what it's going to be. They're going to do it right.
Right.
They're going to do it right. And that's when I'm not paying money. I just don't want to waste my money when I'm eating. Now, if it's somebody else's money, then I can experiment. But when it's my money, I want to make sure that I'm spending it the proper way.
What's coming up tonight, James Coleman?
Petty Friday.
Right.
We've got a lot of Mr. Potato Head.
Uh-oh.
Or... whatever it is.
All right.
We're going to talk about that. Both sides. You know, and everybody's stupid involved in it. We'll talk about, we'll get into some draft talk, a few other things. There's some things, some continuing conversations that people have hit us up on that we've had this week. Last couple of weeks have been, as far as a potpourri box, has been pretty fire when it comes to topics or off topics of sports. But I'm going to go ahead and preface this. If you are really probably calling into our show this late in the week during the off season, and you're just specifically looking for Jaguars content, I'm going to tell you right now, go ahead and turn it off because we're going to get on your nerves. But if you're looking to be entertained, we're going to make sure it'll be entertaining. But as far as Jaguar stuff, there's nothing really to talk about besides, you know, unless you want to just say Urban's great. And we defended Urban's honor yesterday.
That's what I do whenever I'm stuck and I'm lost or Urban's great.
Right. Yeah. That's all. I mean, that's what people
you
want
credited
to hear.
You gave Urban a little bit of love yesterday.
Oh well, no. It's the thing about America. I don't have to like you. America has us. We all have our problems. We're separated. I'm not going to lie about that. There are uniters. The greatest uniter is when you attack us.
Right.
Historically. If an outsider comes in and attacks us,
right,
we'll all forget that we've got our fleas, we'll band together, and we're going to whoop the ass of the attacker. I may not like Urban as a person, but don't you talk about my head coach, the Jaguars. So some bloke, some bloody bloke across the pond decided that he wanted to lump all of America's problems in sports, just drop them on Urban. And Urban isn't a saint, but that's why we hired him, and we care about winning.
That's for
sure.
And
that's all it is, and that guy could not understand the American way, and I explained and expressed history on sports history, world history on our show in 15 minutes in our segment. That's why everybody calls us when they're in the bind. That's why the Brits called us when they're in the bind. They don't care. We care about one thing in America, winning. How you win, might not always like it, but if the outcome is winning, that's all that matters. And if Herb comes in and makes this a winner, I'll take a couple. Like, that's why we have JSO. Police officers need jobs. So if they get in trouble, that's Herb's job. Like, let them do their work and let Herb coach.
All right, James. Enjoy your Friday night, young man. There he goes, James Coleman, and it's time for the Sports Den. Denny Thompson and JJ. That's going to do it. That's going to do it for us. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thank you to Chris Nee for joining us from Hauser, giving us the very latest on Florida State as they get ready tomorrow. They're a 2-point favorite in Chapel Hill, taking on the University of North Carolina. RJ Saunders, have a great weekend.
You too, man. Stay safe out there.
Folks, have an outstanding one. The next time we will talk with you will be at 6 o'clock on Monday. My name is Rick Ballew. We'll do it then.